Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and thanks for listening to Blog Talk Radio, the Burke Allen Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. It's an overcast midsummer day here in the nation's capital as we crack open the skylight and take a look out at the monuments. Today we're talking with DC authors, and we'll call them Crystal and Phoebe. They are the authors of a pretty controversial blog called Desperate in DC. It's being made into a book. A lot of satire, a lot of funny stuff. It sort of tells the story of these two very funny ladies, professional ladies here in Washington, D.C., who have sort of a laugh-out-loud style as they exchange emails with one another. They come from wealth, they come from privilege, but they also poke fun at the power and the wealth and the status-hungry folks inside the Beltway here in Washington, D.C. I think it's a story that will translate well all over the country. So and they've decided that they're going to write this book under pseudonym, so we'll call them Crystal and Phoebe, and Crystal and Phoebe join us on the show. Hi, ladies. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. How are you doing? Nice
doing
to talk
great.
To you today.
Well, it's great to have you guys on. And by the way, if you have a phone call or a question for Crystal and Phoebe, the numbers are 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. If you happen to be in the metropolitan New York City area, that is a free call today. So, Phoebe, we'll start with you. Desperate in D.C., where did the idea come from?
Well, we started out, Crystal and I were neighborhood friends, and we would just email each other about funny things that had happened to us during the day. It was a way to let off steam, and a lot of them, just our emails just were for our own consumption, but they sort of made us laugh, and sometimes we would include our husbands in on those emails, and they would laugh, and then one of our husbands, I think it was mine, suggested that we should try our hand at blogging, and so we did that, and then we started to get you know, our friends reading the blog, and they would suggest ideas for us just because life tends to be a bit crazy in D.C., and people are very type A, and they can do some crazy things, and it can either make you mad or you can laugh about it. So Crystal and I used the blog as a way to sort of just laugh at sort of things that happened in our daily lives here and that I'm sure happened to everyone all over the country, anyone who's in a sort of competitive work or even home environment, I think would be able to identify with many of the things that we've covered in our blog.
We're talking to Crystal and Phoebe, the authors of Desperate in D.C., the blog that is setting the Beltway on fire. The book is set for release as well, and definitely a beach read. Some pretty juicy stuff in here, and Crystal, let me ask you, if you were to describe to somebody what Desperate in D.C. is all about as a book, what is the book about?
It's really about two neighbors who become good friends and their ability to sort out their lives, the lives they have with their husbands, their children, with their neighbors. You know, we set the book within the framework of a small village just outside of Washington, D.C., so it's certainly connected to the city in all the ways that someone in D.C. is, but set slightly outside so that you also have a small town, slightly absurdist view of things as well.
It's Desperate in D.C., and you can find out more at desperateindc.com. The book is on sale at amazon.com as well. I think the pre-orders are up now. Phoebe, when you set out to write this thing, were you concerned at all about sort of the juicy stuff that you were going to reveal, and is that why you guys decided to use pen names?
That was a concern for us, and in fact, many people have asked us, do your husbands get mad at you when they read our book? But really, we're pretty hard on our husbands in daily life, and we poke fun at them, and they poke fun at us. So I wasn't too concerned about my marriage on the book front, but when it came to friends and family, other family members, I don't think we really based any character on a one real person. They're more composites. of people that we know and situations that we've had that we put our characters into. So there's no character that's based on one real person. And in fact, in one case, one of our sort of most monstrous characters is actually based on someone we just heard about who writes a lifestyle blog of their own, and it tickled us how this woman liked to pretend to lead a life of rich simplicity, is what she calls her blog, when actually she's extremely wealthy and privileged and annoys people left, right, and center. She goes about her business. So we had great fun with that character, but she's definitely not based on anyone we know, and I want to emphasize that just in case anyone we know thinks that it's based on her.
They shouldn't not become our friend immediately. We can sort that out with them.
Right. We'll pay them if necessary.
Yes.
You've changed the names to protect the guilty in some cases, it sounds like.
Right.
Desperate in D.C. is the blog and the book, and the authors, who are calling themselves Crystal and Phoebe, are our guests today. You can call us with questions at 718-506-1944. You can also send us a question in our quick chat feature if you'd like to very anonymously write in. The flash chat is up and available for you for the authors of Desperate in D.C. Crystal, you have kids. You talk about the kids in the book and in the blog. And one of the interesting things that happens, I think, in D.C. is this incredibly ultra-competitive, what private school do the school-age kids go to? Tell me about your experiences there and what we might read about in that regard in Desperate in D.C.
Well, I think, first of all, it is a fiercely competitive part of the country in which to live, generally, but when it comes to your children, perhaps even more so. So where you send your children to school matters. And as we frame it in the book, we use the school where the president sends his young darlings, and Crystal's children are trying to attend this school. And so the book talks a lot about what it takes to get into a private school, and you might be surprised to find out what Crystal might be willing to do in terms of a personal relationship with the female head of said school to get her children in.
I see.
Can I just add that I wouldn't be surprised if, in this particular year in question, when people found out that the president's children might be going to a real school in D.C., I wouldn't have been surprised to hear that, you know, say a murder had been committed in order to get someone else's children into that school and, have the possibility of a play date or a sleepover at the White House. of course, that didn't happen, but nothing would have surprised me.
Well, and Phoebe, obviously, you didn't grow up in D.C. There's something about the accent that tells me that. Crystal, I understand you are also not a Washingtonian native. When you guys both moved here, and Phoebe, I'll ask you this question, were you appalled by what you saw with this sort of jockeying for social position? Were you aghast? Were you amused? I mean, what was your takeaway once you saw all the shenanigans that happened in D.C.?
Well, if I might answer first, I think that actually it did surprise me and it didn't. It surprised me in the sense that I thought Americans were classless and that anyone could rise to the top. And when I moved to D.C., I discovered that there are actually a lot of very privileged and entitled people, just like you might find in my native London. And it actually also, the town reminds me a lot of the college that I went to in the U.K., which was just as full of type A competitive types as D.C. is. So I wasn't that surprised, but it's, if anything, even more ramped up here. And I put that down to sort of the competitive American spirit. And I enjoy it as much as I like to poke fun at it. So it makes life interesting for me here.
Hey, Crystal, what about you? I know that you have, without divulging too much of your secret identity, Batman, you have a legal background, and this is a town where, you know, you can trip over lawyers on K Street all day long. When you moved from the Midwest, I mean, what did you think about, the nonsense that happens here in D.C.?
Well, I think the thing that became immediately evident to me was, first of all, it certainly wasn't enough to be a lawyer because, as you suggested, there are already too many of them. But what really mattered is your proximity to power. So government lawyers certainly have lots of access and interest and importance. But frankly, when you go to a party, may not be particularly interesting to talk to. So I think what I found was this juxtaposition of power and privilege, along with the idea that even though these people have both of those things, they may not be people that you actually want to hang out with. And that's an interesting phenomenon. I think that actually Phoebe summarized this quite well once for me, and I think this may have been a quote of her husband's, but to say that Washington is, you know, the Hollywood for ugly people. And I really think that that may be true.
If I can just chime in, I do enjoy sort of when I run into someone that I've seen on TV, it's usually Fox News or some of the Sunday news shows. I'm always excited to see them, and I'm dying to call up my friends in England and tell them, and then I realize that they have no idea who this person is, or if they do, they wouldn't find them at all glamorous. So I can never do that, but I get a kick out of seeing these famous people in the village that we live in the burbs of DC, but also downtown, you know, buying Starbucks with their kids, sometimes with bedhead, that kind of thing. It's fun to see that.
The blog and the book is Desperate in DC. The authors are Crystal and Phoebe. They're on the line with us now, and we're taking your questions in our flash chat section. Something I thought was really interesting, Crystal, is that the book is somewhat predictive. You have sort of a crystal ball moment where you talk about sexting, and as we record this podcast today and broadcast it live on the internet, sexting with some DC folks, very much in the news with Anthony Weiner and his wife, who is a big Hillary Clinton insider. Did you have some inside information on sexting, or how did sexting make it into the book, Crystal?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say the recent headlines I've seen regarding sexting in D.C. suggest that Weiner sags. So let's just say that moment may have moved on. But certainly D.C. wouldn't be D.C. without that kind of scandal, whether it's hiring, you know, a high-level prostitute or an expensive one anyway, or sexting. And, you know, in the book, I think it certainly was used. And by the way, the novel is a communications novel, so we use lots of different formats, from email to texting to various forms of social media. So certainly sexting had to be a part of that. But, you know, I'm not going to reveal any, you know, secrets from my own life and where we got the idea to use it. But I would say that in the book, at least, it's just how Phoebe or Crystal ultimately, you know, get something to happen that they want to happen to move the plot along.
The book Desperate in D.C. is going to be available in stores very soon. You can pre-order at Amazon.com. Check the blog out now, too, at DesperateInDC.com. Ladies, stick around. When we come back, I wanted to get into the obstacles you had in putting pen to paper and getting this written. Stick around. More with the authors of Desperate in D.C. right after this on The Burke Allen Show.
Over 14 million people witnessed his emotional story of survival and triumph on national television.
I've been doing this now for so long, like ever since I was a kid.
Millions more voted him their favorite in a landslide win.
The winner is...
And now, you can be a part of the experience live.
Landau Eugene Murphy!
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Your America's Got Talent winner.
I've got you.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Under my
thumb. Live. Performing classics from the Great American Songbook and his Columbia Records debut CD, That's Life.
That's Life.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.'s That's Life Tour. The one concert event this year you absolutely can't miss.
See Landau Eugene Murphy Jr. live Sunday, August 11th at the Catalina Jazz Club in Beverly Hills. Details online at LandauMurphyJr.com. It's the Burke Allen Show. Our number 718-506-1944. Our guests are the authors of Desperate in D.C., and they're desperately trying to protect their secret identities. We'll call them Crystal and Phoebe. Those are the pen names. Ladies, and I'll start with Phoebe. It took you a long time to write this, 7 years. You know, why so long? What were the obstacles that you ran into?
Well, That's right, Buck. And, you know, our husbands query us about the amount of time it took every day, pretty much. But but really, it was because Desperate in D.C. took so long to write because we're juggling so many things in our lives. And I'm sure any other woman of a certain age can identify with that if they have family and a career to juggle, not to mention a household to run. Life gets busy, and somehow, you know, our priorities were always getting bumped. And we did finally buckle down and finish the book. We had a lot of fun doing it, and even though it took us so long, I think in some ways it kept it fresh for us. And when I read it now, some of the pieces that we wrote back in the beginning make me laugh like I never wrote them. So it took a long time, but we're very proud of, you know, finishing it and of all the work that we put into Desperate in D.C.
And if I may just add, Burke, I think it's so important for our children to see that even though it took us a long time, we were really persistent, and it truly is one of those we shall overcome projects, and we did.
There's some pretty saucy stuff in there. I'm not sure that that many kids will be allowed to read it. It's definitely in that PG-13 to R territory. And along those lines, Crystal, let me ask you, if one of the reasons you guys decided to keep pen names was so that your neighbors might sort of share stories over the backyard fence, so to speak, and you could get this inside dirt from them. Or conversely, do they know that you've written this book and this blog, and are they a little more tight-lipped? What say you?
Well, interestingly, after people knew we had the blog, they would come to us with ideas. Oh, you should write about this, this topic, or here's a little inside information that you can use. So really, we rarely had to persuade someone, and when we did, often we'd simply ply them with one or maybe two glasses of wine, and then, frankly, they would spill their guts. But we haven't, as of yet, lost any friends because of it, and in fact, I'd say have made a few. It is D.C., after all, and people now think that, you know, we're on the inside and are all too happy to help.
Either that, or they're just pretending to be our friends because they don't want us to be their enemies. So we're not sure, really.
There's that. You wield the pen. Phoebe, how would you say that what you guys are doing is the same or different than the D.C. social climbers that made all the news a couple of years ago, Tariq and Michelle Salahi?
I admire anyone who is willing to sort of put themselves out there in some ways, but in terms of how we're different from Tariq and Michelle Salahi, I would say hopefully we're better writers than they are, and hopefully we drink a little bit less, but I'm not sure I would have personally had the chutzpah to gatecrash a party at the White House, being British and having a little bit of a natural British deference to authority, but I admire a woman who does. And
nor have we had to, Bert, just to
that's right, we're turning down invitations
thing.
Left, right, and center.
Yeah. Crystal, is there one story that now that you look back on all these years of sort of emails back and forth between you and Phoebe and text and sort of jotting down the unbelievable things you've seen and heard, is there one that really sticks in your mind from the last 7 years?
Wow, I guess perhaps the one that stands out most for me, maybe not surprisingly, is the one I sent to Phoebe just before giving birth to my daughter, which basically urgently suggested that she was now my partner in crime, since my husband, we'll call him George, since that's his name in the book, couldn't attend the birth. She was all too willing to commit. So I do think she got a text saying something like, number four on the way, come fast.
Wow.
I'll cherish that text forever. It was quite the roller coaster ride and a lot of fun to be part of. So,
I think your husbands probably have taken their fair amount of abuse in this book.
Right.
What would you say, in case they happen to be listening to this podcast, Phoebe, you know, to sort of rub a little salve in the wounded male ego?
Oh, a little salve. You know, my husband has a very tough ego, so, I don't worry too much about him, but he was, you know, they were both enormous helps in the writing of this book, and I think maybe the thing that I most appreciate about their help was that they found the book funny, and they've always encouraged us because they say that we're good writers, and if nothing else, that the book is really funny. So that's kept us going through, you know, several dark patches where, you know, we didn't know whether we should keep going. So we do love them, really, and I hope that people, when they read the book, when they read Desperate in D.C., they realize that we're poking fun at ourselves as much as our husbands and everyone else we know.
Well, and Crystal just gave us her story about the husband being away during the birth of her fourth child, and you stepping in and snipping the umbilical cord, so to speak. So now I'm going to put it to you. In the last 7 years of writing this blog and this book, is there one really interesting / juicy / memorable story that sticks out for you?
Well, I would say that for Phoebe, whose financial circumstances are much more straightened than she would like them to be, the story that stands out for me most in the book is how her husband decides to come by, shall we say, seed money for his business. And if the readers read the book, they'll find out exactly what I mean by seed money, and I don't necessarily mean it metaphorically.
Oh, my. So there are plastic cups of Tupperware somewhere in your kitchen cupboard, apparently.
Well, there's always Tupperware in my kitchen cupboard, but hopefully just for food.
Crystal and Phoebe are the pen names of the authors of the spicy blog Desperate in D.C. It's been turned into a book and will be available soon at Amazon.com and bookstores everywhere, as long as there are still bookstores everywhere. If you'd like to visit them online, the website is DesperateInDC.com. How do you guys work this out? Who writes what, and who decides what gets into the book? And, Crystal, I'll ask you.
It's a great question, Burke, and I guess it's really a quite free-flowing process, and the way that we've managed it, to date is to work quite freely. So whoever has time on a particular day would begin the process, and the partner picks up and runs with it. And then there is definitely an editing process, and really what you have to have when you have a writing partner is the ability to, you know, have no sacred cows. If your partner doesn't like what you've written, you change it, you let it go. And really, Phoebe is the most gracious of all writing partners, so it wasn't a problem.
And I feel that actually likewise about Crystal, that we really listened to each other, and if one of us wasn't happy with what the other one had wrote, we changed it. And I think the book is better for that. We have, we have a built-in editor in each other, and I think it makes me think that no book should be written alone. Everyone needs, an editor, a good editor, and a good friend to tell you what's working and what isn't.
So for folks that haven't read the book and it's not yet released yet, and maybe they haven't seen the blog, can you, Phoebe, give us a sort of a comparison? What does it read like? If you like A, you will like Desperate in D.C.
I would say that if you enjoy, funny satirical novels, I Don't Know How She Does It was one that resonated with us a few years back, written by Alison Pearson, who's a British journalist, you will appreciate our book because we deal with a lot of similar issues. I think we're a little harder edged in our tone and our humor, but that's definitely the one that springs to mind for me. And I think Crystal has read a column that she really enjoys, that she thinks people who enjoy that column would appreciate Desperate in D.C., and perhaps Crystal can remind us of the name of that.
Yes, it's a New Yorker column written by Ian Fraser, who's quite delightfully satirical and wicked in his style, and it's all about, the cursing mommy, and it sort of goes about the mommy's day and all the challenges she faces, and each new day she tries to give up cursing but inevitably fails, and I think that really sort of captures, a bit of our style as well. It's the constant failure in the face of challenge, but with a humorous approach.
Yeah, there was a day in literature when authors like Irma Bombeck and Fanny Flagg, were everywhere and really writing to women and their challenges, and there doesn't seem to be anybody out in front of that. And maybe this will be you, Crystal. Maybe you guys will be the new Irma Bombecks for the 21st century.
Oh, you do flatter us, Burke.
We would love that. She's one of my rising heroes. So, we can only aspire to that.
One final question, and I'll pose it to both of you. Phoebe, you first. You talk a lot about the folks who are very self-absorbed in D.C., very egocentric, very, you know, sex-crazed and power-hungry.
Oh, that's just us. That's just Crystal and I.
Oh, that's
no,
just you
I'm
on
kidding.
The block
Sorry,
there.
But...
Exactly. you know, if all of this is around you at all times, give me something that's good about living inside the Beltway. What do you like about being here?
You know, I would say that... That people are, I've made the best friends of my life in D.C., that I have a lot of interesting, funny, wise, well-educated friends here, and I really appreciate that every day, and most people are actually really nice. So, you know, they may be competitive, they may have been the star student at their high school and Ivy League college, but they're still good people, and so I do always appreciate that, and, I can't imagine living anywhere better.
And what about you, Crystal? What are the upsides? What do you like about being in D.C.?
I think what I really like is that it's always a place that people want to know about and come to visit. Of course, my favorite part of having the visitors are packing them up after 3 days, just like, you know, what do they say, fish and visitors go bad after 3 days? But really, it is a delight to show people around this town and to feel like I have a little inside knowledge of it.
Well, and I think you make a good point. Folks that are outside the Beltway sort of look at Washington, D.C. with the fish eye and go, what is going on there? And you guys have the ultimate insider's look. And it comes out in the blog and in the book. Congratulations on Desperate in D.C. Crystal and Phoebe, thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you so much, Buck. We've enjoyed it.
Take good care. Thank you.
You bet. Crystal and Phoebe's blog, Desperate in D.C., is online now. The book is available at Amazon.com, BarnesNoble.com, and great bookstores everywhere. I'm Burke Allen, live in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for listening. Now, go out and make it a great day.